Hello and welcome to another episode of our Teaching Palliative Care podcast. I'm here today with my colleagues Claire Edwards, who's one of our end-of-life care facilitators, and Ting Tar, our palliative care registrar. My name's Claire Bates, I'm one of the consultants with the palliative care team. And I wanted to introduce this episode with a dilemma that I've been involved with actually this morning on one of the wards, where I've been in discussion with one of my consultant colleagues trying to work out whether or not the person that we're looking after is actually dying or not. And this lady has been in hospital having very active and excellent medical treatment for about 3.5 weeks. But we've got to the stage now where some of the multidisciplinary team think she is dying. But strangely, over the last few days, some of her numbers have actually improved. So there was that real concern that we don't know, is she dying or not? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'm going to hand over to Ting to kick us off.
Thanks, Claire. Yeah, I think that case really highlights a few things. Firstly, that it's so important to make sure that we've tried to reverse all of the reversible things. And clearly the medical team have been doing that over recent weeks. But, you know, dying is inevitable. Eventually, we're all going to get there. And recognising that that is not a failure in medical care. What would be a failure would be missing the opportunity to recognise that someone is dying in that stage of life, and not getting on top of their symptoms or giving them the opportunity to be able to speak honestly with family and friends, saying things, saying goodbyes, and meeting any spiritual needs that they might have. So in view of all of that, I'm going to ask Claire Edwards, how do we actually recognise, how do we really diagnose dying?
I mean, I think we need to recognise that that is actually quite difficult, and that it's a very individualised thing. All human beings, we're all individual, and we're all individual in our death as we are in our life. I think what we talk about is trajectories, and we talk about diseases and how prognostication affects people's lifespan. But I think when people get to the last few days, very short weeks perhaps of their life, we're looking at reduced functionality, reduced interest in life, kind of withdrawing from the world, not eating, not drinking, perhaps not being able to do things as well as they were. And that's maybe in the last few short weeks. But then there are other stages that we get to after that, I think we're going to talk about.
Just picking up on what you said about recognising these subtle changes, like we've certainly noticed that it's certain people on the ward that might pick up on that.
Definitely. I think the first person to pick up on that usually in general would be a HCA on the ward, because they're doing all the personal care for the patient. They get to know the patient very well. They're chatting to Elsie every day, finding out about her and how she is and how she's feeling. And I think as a multidisciplinary team, we need to be talking more openly about these subtle changes to recognise that the patient is deteriorating with the potential to die.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of time and experience to pick up on these things, but actually really paying attention to all of these subtleties that we would miss otherwise, and whilst focus on blood tests or whatever else, yeah, that's so important. But then when we talk about, you know, somebody actively dying, then what do we mean by that?
So I think that's the things that we're seeing in usually the last few hours or short days of life, which are physiological changes. So someone's skin becoming mottled, then becoming peripherally shut down or cold, their breathing changing. We see changes in their sort of their facial appearance, what the eyes look like. And there's a whole host of clinical signs and symptoms, which strangely enough, you don't really get taught in medical school how to look for those things. It's often clinical intuition over the years that you recognise it. But it is a bit like people who are labouring to give birth to a baby, that there are recognised stages of labour until the baby is born. And I think those of us who have seen enough dying know that there are also recognisable stages of the dying process that do irreversibly then lead to death. And perhaps the most kind of obvious change in the breathing right at the end is what we'd call chain stoking or irregular agonal breathing, that there's no coming back from that. So
Yeah, and recognising that is important as a team, but also communicating these expected changes and stages to families so that they can be reassured when they see these things happening in their loved one. And then in the face of uncertainty, we've talked about how hard it is to recognise dying and, you know, to really be sure. In that scenario, what would you say about erring on the side of caution of, okay, maybe this person could be dying?
I think what we sort of, the viewpoint that we take is that we are hoping for the best, but we're actually preparing for the worst. And I think that a lot of the time we're very fixed, as you've said, on numbers, but by preparing for both sort of channels of what's happening, then we can best serve the patient and symptom-wise manage them quite well. I think there's no harm in a patient being recognised that they're dying, but yet trying some active treatments for symptom management. And I think really when the active treatments are then not working, we can clearly define that, yes, despite what we're doing, this patient is dying. So I think it's important that we don't just give up and put patients away to die, that we actually do actively try to reverse the reversible.
I think there's two really important things you highlighted there. The fact that the end of care plan, end of life care plan, sorry, can be used in conjunction with active management. It just helps to give good quality holistic care. And also what you said about looking at numbers. I think we can often get a little bit sort of distracted looking at blood tests. So I had a lady today, for instance, where I saw her yesterday. I was reviewing again today, and her blood looked like, oh, her creatinine, her AKI had gotten a bit better. Her CRP was coming down, but I went to see her today and she was actively dying.
Ting, I've got another story about that from a family who were very upset after their loved one died because someone had done a set of observations on this person within an hour of her death, and the person who'd done the observations then turned around to the family who were waiting at the bedside and said, oh, her blood pressure's really good and her pulse is really good and those observations are really good, and unfortunately within an hour she had died. And that was so confusing for the family, because again, because the observations had been done and were actually normal, the numbers were okay, and it really made it harder for them to accept what had happened.
So that's about not wanting to take away hope sometimes. And I also have an example of a lady who is actively dying on the ward at the moment, and as an end of life care facilitator, we encourage people not to do observations. When I touched the lady, she was burning hot, and I said to the nurse, have you done her observations, what's her temperature? And she said, well, we don't do them in end of life care. And I said, that's very true, but actually by touching the lady you can feel that she's burning, and she was, her rests were quite high and she was quite uncomfortable, so actually we give her IV paracetamol, which really settled her. So it's about balancing what is the best place thing for the patient, not burdening them.
So you only do the things that are going to help.
Yes.
For comfort.
Yes.
And you don't do the things that are just going to provide potentially confusing information that aren't going to change.
That's exactly,
the comfort of the person,
Okay, that's really great, guys. So I think just to summarise there, we want to highlight that recognising dying can be really, really difficult, but it is much better to plan early and err on the side of, okay, maybe they are approaching end of life and we don't want to miss the boat and we want to get this right for them. We talked about specific signs and symptoms that you might notice in the last hours or days, and really drawing on the multidisciplinary team to pick up on those things. And then keeping an eye on the overall picture, as well as what's in front of you, the actual person in front of you, and not getting too sidetracked by obs and bloods. And the value of having a fresh pair of eyes as well. If you're not sure, then call us anyway. We're here with, as I said, a new perspective, but also lots of experience.
We've also got some leaflets, haven't we, about
recognising
for relatives what dying looks like. So those are available.
Those are available in your blue boxes on every ward with that orange gerber on the front. I think most people are familiar with where those blue boxes are. Yeah. And we have got some new leaflets coming out.
And we'll put a link in the text for the episode about how to find out more information about specific diseases and what those look like in terms of the trajectory towards death. Good.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for listening, guys.
Thank you.